everyone. Welcome to another episode of Caught Between a Tie and High Heels, a transgender podcast journal where I share past experiences and new situations as I slowly step out of the closet to free myself from the tie and live my life completely in the high heels. I'm Jamie, your hostess and friendly neighborhood trans lesbian, and welcome to the podcast. Hello, all my beautiful listeners. It is, what day is this? It is the 24th of January, 2023. Sorry we didn't do an episode last week, but we went out of town in order to visit with some family. Well, Dee's sister, basically. We went to go visit with Dee's sister. And unfortunately, we did not have the time. We were running around like chickens with our head cut off, trying to pack everything we needed to and just really try to get everything under control. And so we still didn't pack what we needed to. We were short a couple of items and we didn't do an episode. So sorry about that. But shitty way to start off the new year, I know, but we're going to try. We're doing okay. We're here. We got another episode. And I'm going to warn you ahead of time. This one's going to be a deep one. At least a deep one for me. It should be. It's a deep subject. Basically talking about emotions and really kind of looking into your inner person. Who you are. Because we really noticed something on the ride to and from Dee's sister's house. I get suckered into social media just like everybody else. I watch all the reels and love all the cat videos and all the pet videos, making the funny faces or falling into a box or, you know, all that stuff. So, the big thing though that I ended up running across was a lot of these reels, I end up talking about how signs that you are ADHD or signs that you are, you suffer from emotional neglect or you were you grew up in an emotionally neglected, home or again, some iteration of that. And it really kind of, rang true to me because I started, going, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah. Wow. Okay. And so I started saving a few and listening to them, and they pretty much all kind of say the same thing. I'm going to quote one that basically these are 9 signs. There's a ton of them that are out there. So trying to give someone proper credit. Just go looking on Reels on Instagram and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But first of all, I want to say before we dive into all this stuff, though, I am in no way, shape, or form. I am no way a doctor. I don't even play one on TV. So do not take what I'm telling you as some kind of medically sound proof that you either A, suffer from emotional neglect or how to treat it. I have no idea. I'm going to tell you right now, go to a professional. If you feel that any of these are going to like hit home, go to a professional. Therapy. I've been in therapy off and on for 30 years and it does help. I'm not going to lie. But now that I'm a little bit more armed with I was just getting over and dealing with some ADHD issues. Now that I'm armed with this knowledge of, hey, I may have grown up and been a victim of emotional neglect in my home. More stuff to work out with the therapist, but do not take anything. I'm just literally covering what I saw. And as far as the, how to fix it and everything, I literally went on the first website that popped up that had a list of, hey, here's some things that you can do. So I'm going to share them with you. It's not sound medical advice. Okay, let me get that right out of the way. This is not sound medical advice. go talk to a therapist. If you're feeling like you're struggling with some of this stuff, don't take what I'm saying as any kind of sound medical. I'm just sharing with you what I found for myself. I'm going to a therapist. I am working shit out with a therapist. So I advise you to do the same if you are in a similar type of boat as I am, or I found myself. All right, with the disclaimers out of the way, also a trigger warning. If you're not into, if you're driving, listening to this, first of all, thank you for listening. I love you so much for listening. Thank you. But I am not looking to cause you emotional trauma on your way to work and you're going to run your mascara or whatever the case may be and look like, you know, just a hot sobbing mess when you walk into work. So, or have an accident or something like that. So I'd say pause this, you know, for this one. So you don't get the triggers or anything else like that. Wait till you're in a private, quiet space at home. You can relax. You know, you're in a safe environment. And give me a listen then. But because to me, I mean, today I am so emotional. I have been crying at like the stupidest stuff. I saw a reel today and I started bawling. Like, I definitely must be on my period, I guess. I don't know. But this is like, it was crazy. I was sort of emotional yesterday. I'm really emotional today. Mama's got her tea. So hold on. I got to get a sip. Okay. All right. Tea is done. Disclaimer's done. Trigger warning's done. Let's dive into this bitch. All right. Let's find out what the hell's going on. All right. So again, I ran into a reel that had, and the title was 9 signs that you may have been a victim of childhood emotional neglect. All right. And I'm just going to run through these. So here we go. All right. Number one, you have a hard time accepting someone would like you or let alone love you for who you are. For me, yeah, check mark. I still tell D constantly, I don't even understand how you're with me. I really don't. I know that I am a hard pill to swallow. And I tell her constantly, she's so out of my league, but you're still with me and I love you for it. But yeah. Okay. Number two, you prioritize taking care of others rather than taking care of yourself. Well, yeah, that's been my life for 52 years. Everyone else's needs had come first. It didn't matter. I don't matter. My feelings, my needs, and everything else, we'll get to it and I'll just sort of creak by. This was a huge one for me. When I heard this person, you know, ramble off this list, I was like, oh, wait a minute. You have my attention at number two. So that was a tough one. Not going to cry. Okay, number three, suffer from low self-esteem and feel that you're not good enough. Also, I learned part of my self-defense, survival instincts, I guess, was to, when the bullies were at school, I think I shared this with you all a while back, I went into self-deprecate. I can't speak today. I don't even have my Invisalign in. I went into self-deprecation mode. Basically, the reason I use this as a defense simply because it took all the wind out of what they were trying to do. You know, the bullies are going to verbally assault you and, you know, hey, dork, hey, whatever, like, yep, okay, you know, that type of thing. Or one of the ones that really got them laughing was that I got called a pussy a lot. And I said, well, I am what I eat. They laughed and they moved away. How little did they know how true that really was? But I would do these types of things and say that, yeah, you're right, I'm a dork, I'm an idiot, you know, that type of thing. And I just sort of sloughed it off. But that was my self-defense mechanism. And that has always been, I always take that. I don't feel that I'm good enough for a lot of things. I don't feel that I'm good enough in order to have the love that I have with D. I constantly feel that way. So again, another hard one for me on that. Number three was a hard one. Yeah, this is one. I don't feel this one all the time. Number three. Okay, you suffer. Oh, no, sorry. Number four. So number two, number three were big ones for me. Number four, this was kind of a so-so for me. You often feel lonely even though you're surrounded by people and family. I do feel that way. Not constantly, but there is a lot of times. D is the only one that I have allowed to be so close to me. I think I shared... that was actually in my book. I didn't share it with you. So I use a technique that I like to call the target, like an archery target. You know, they have the different colored round, circles, and each one is a little point, and, you know, you have its own point value. It's like white or black, white, blue, red, yellow, and then the bullseye. And those are kind of where I keep people. That's where I have always emotionally kept people that I know, associates, people that I don't like. They're usually in the white, or they're not even in the black area on those outer. I can't remember which. Now that I'm thinking about it, I can't remember which one is the farthest out away from the bullseye. But I have people that are there. D is the only one that is actually in the bullseye with me. And this is, I don't mean this as an insult. The ones that are in the yellow, that are the area around the bullseye, those are the people that I'm closest with. Like my kids, certain members of my family. I'm not going to start naming names because, God forbid, I don't need that kind of hassle next time I talk to family. But there are those, and you know who you are. I mean, come on. You're going to know. There's friends that are also in there, family members. So, again, and it kind of branches out. Even though I have that, and again, a lot of what I've done keeping people at arm's length has been because of I didn't want them to find out about me being trans, and then I lose them as friends because I value their friendship. I value them I admire them as a friend, as a person. And the last thing I would want is for them to, like, hate me because I happen to be transgender, which, you know, you grow up in the generation I did, and that was pretty much said on to you really, really early on. So you do, you feel alone, and it's pretty bad. So this one was also a so-so for me, number four, feeling lonely even though you're surrounded by people and family. Number five, often end up in relationships where it's not safe to express your feelings, opinions, or ask for what you need. Well, yeah, this pretty much describes my entire first marriage. I'm not gonna lie. You know, they have the saying is that, like, you know, you marry your mother, and spot on. And that's not to say that my ex-wife is a horrible person. She's not. She's a lovely individual. She's a beautiful, extremely intelligent woman. But the personality is very much like my mom. And it was just a continuation, but in a different way, of what I was getting from my mom. My mom also being a victim of probably emotional neglect from her parents, because I found out later in life that my grandma and grandpa were, her parents were, they liked to drink, and they argued a lot. They also divorced. So I think I don't want to say hereditary, but it's definitely, you know, you grow up with and you learn what you're taught. And if that's all you've known, then that's what you're going to pass on. And I think I ended up getting that gift from my mom. So, yeah, hey, my first relationship, really, I constantly was walking around on eggshells, constantly. Okay, moving on. Number six, when difficult emotions come up, you tend to escape through addictions or constantly distract yourself. Video games. J.R.R. Tolkien, hello, every nerdy thing that you could possibly imagine, I escaped. I would rather, to this day, no joke, I would rather be in one of those worlds rather than be in the world that we're in. I often think that. I'm not going to do anything crazy. I'm not going to hurt myself. I don't want you to feel that way. But yeah, it's definitely one of those things that come up in my mind is like, man, I would rather escape to Middle Earth. I would rather escape to, to be on a Federation starship. I would rather escape anywhere, any world. So that's a big one. And I do constantly, so I don't have to. Skyrim, hello. How many worthless hours, have I just wasted playing that game just because I didn't want to deal with what was going on around me? So definitely a major one for me there, number six. Number seven, you have a hard time recognizing and identifying how you feel. I'll read that over again because I screwed up. I can't talk. You have a hard time recognizing and identifying how you feel. Yes, I think the subtleties. I've learned a lot since I've been on hormones and since I've been with D. I have learned a whole bunch about the nuances of emotions. Where before I met D, much like my transgender issues, my emotions were really kind of black and white. I was either really, really happy, or I was really pissed off and just angry at everything. So, yeah, I was definitely, I didn't really know how to break those down. I'm learning. I'm still not there. I think this is one that I've actually been working on a little bit. So that's pretty good, I guess. One out of nine that I've been working on. Number eight, you have difficulty trusting others and forming close relationships. Well, yeah, the side effect of growing up emotionally neglected, and also, again, my issues of trying to figure out who I am and being transgender and not wanting to get close, basically keeping the world, not just family and loved ones, but like anybody at arm's length, because the last thing I wanted them to do is learn about me and leave me, or start yelling hatred at me or something like that, and they don't want to be my friend. Well, okay, that sucks. So you always keep bad relationships. It's really hard. Maybe I'm reading my own thing into that, but whatever. All right, number nine, here we are, we're at the end. You struggle with setting healthy boundaries and assertiveness in your relationships and interactions with others. Well, yeah. Yeah. I think that my crop of give a fucks, as I've often mentioned, has burned to the ground, to the root. And the older that I'm getting, I'm finding the more that my assertiveness is coming forward. I'm tired of not being as assertive. So even though in the background I talk around, yeah, I would have told that bitch this, that, blah, blah, blah. It's usually a little bit more, I'm going to say something, but it's not going to be, like a Karen and like up all in your face and all that other stuff. Okay, so those are the nine signs that you could be a victim of childhood emotional neglect. Let's now talk or turn our heads into, because this was the other thing. I'm sitting there looking at like one after another of these reels, and I'm like, okay, I get it. I've got ADHD. I've suffered. I'm a victim of childhood emotional neglect. How the fuck do I fix this? Don't tell me the symptoms anymore. I got that. I'm down with that. How do I fix it? There's no reels, by the way. I don't think I've done a search a couple of times. No. Only reels to tell you that, yeah, you're fucked up. There's no reels on, okay, hey, you're fucked up, but here's how you fix it. Let's see a couple of those, okay? That would be nice. So I had to go searching on the internet. Like I said, I popped up, here's a list, because I jumped on the first website, and I'm even going to tell you, it is the Lighthouse Counseling website. I'll even put the link, why not? I'll put the link into the episode description, but they give me a list of 10 things, 10 strategies for coping with your childhood emotional neglect. Excuse me. Let's see how this works out. All right. Number one. And again, either this is not sound medical advice. Go see a counselor. If you've, like, any of the nine that I already listed hit you in any way, shape, or form, or you registered, they registered on with you somehow, go see a therapist. I am, and trust me, I'm taking these cards that I wrote out. Yeah, I'm taking these to my next session with my therapist, and we're going to go through all this crap. Because I got to say, some of these strategies, I'm not really sure. But let's go through them, shall we? Number one, deeply acknowledge the way emotional neglect happened in your family and how it's affecting you. Well, okay. I think this one... this one is kind of self-explanatory. Sorry, I didn't mean to like get on the mic so much. I put my head down. I apologize. Let me get some more tea. Okay. Okay. I think that I deeply acknowledge, I have definitely deeply acknowledged the way emotional neglect happened in my family, because I believe, honestly, from both my father and my mother, it's what they got. And so, like I said, it's not necessarily blaming my parents for that, but they also being victims of probably being victims of childhood emotional neglect in their own family. That's what they did. Well, that and my dad being a naughty, naughty individual and just basically cheating on all of his wives. That could be a problem there, but that's a completely separate episode. But yeah, I think that they probably ended up getting it. So that's how it happened, is that they ended up passing it on to me. And it's definitely affected me in the way that I, as a human, again, going back to this other card that I'm registering with these nine different ways that I have emotional neglect. So I think I'm pretty much covered that one. Let's get it fixed. So moving on to number two, accept that your emotions are blocked off, but they are still there waiting for you. Okay. So I kind of get this, and then I kind of don't. I get this in a way that since I met D, and also since of being on, since I've started hormones, I feel that I have been able to, as I said before, start seeing those nuances of emotions. Instead of it being really happy or really, really sad and pissed off or angry, I'm starting to see that. And I think that those are my emotions that I know are out there. I know they're there, and I'm getting in touch with those, which is great. But I still have boundaries that keep me from a lot. Now, not only are they keeping me safe from everyone coming in, but I also have boundaries of me going out. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like, the same blockade that's protecting me is also my prison. Wow, that got deep real quick. Wow. All right, let's move on to number three. Wow. Number three, pay attention to your feelings. Exactly what I was just talking about. Instead of, okay, I'm pissed, or I'm depressed, or I'm really happy. I've started to know, like, hey, I'm happy. There's different types of happiness. There's joy. There's contentment. I never really kind of put those in separate categories. I just thought, oh, happy. There you go. That's just one lump bucket right there. But yeah, being able to pay attention to what I'm feeling, why am I feeling it? I think that's gone a long way. Again, I got a lot of work to do, but I think it certainly helped me. Let's put it this way. When I say help me, let me describe to you how I used to get mad. And this was very much my dad. And I vowed when I was young and I used to listen and go to bed with my parents screaming at one another, argument after argument, I made a promise to myself that I would never grow up to be like them, ever. And I would never do to my child what I did to them. Sadly, I ended up still doing a couple of those things just because I didn't know any better. And I was young. I mean, I had a baby when I was 24. I didn't know shit. I didn't know anything about being a parent. I just knew that I could have sex with my kid's mom, you know? So you grow up a lot. But the way that I got angry was that, like, if there was something that pissed me off, I was a hitter. Like, I hit the pillow. I'm not people. Don't get me wrong. I don't, like, turn around and, like, slug my wife. No, I don't do that. But, like, I would hit the pillow, or I would slam a chair, or I would throw something across the room. Not at anybody. I don't want you to get that picture. But, like, I'm in a room by myself. I got a guy yelling at me on my cell phone from my work about something that was, A, not my fault, but he decided he was going to call and rip me a new one because he thought that it was my fault. Okay. So I got off the phone, and the next thing I did was hurl my phone across a 20-foot wide living room. Well, living room / dining room. And the phone ended up going into the shelf where all of my glass steins were that I brought home from Germany when I was in the army over there. And I broke about 3 of them. And I broke the phone. But it was like these little bursts of release. Like, I'm so pissed off. And even though I regretted the fact that I broke my steins and the phone, and I had to go to work the next day because I worked for a cell phone company, and tell them what happened, I came up with the biggest friggin' lie that you could possibly ever imagine. Yeah, a lot of my early years were all just lies, deceit, just whatever I had to do in order to get by. That's basically what I did. But it was those little bursts, and that's not right. And then, like, I had that all throughout my marriage, my first marriage. And I had it all throughout the beginning of my second relationship with D. And it's scared. D was wonderful enough because she told me that it scared her. And I'm like, oh, well, I mean, I'm not aiming it at you. It's not at you. And she was like, she told me, we had a nice conversation. It was emotional, but she was like, okay, that's wrong. I mean, I don't like, she doesn't like that. And it's not something that she feels very comfortable about. And it was just making her very anxious and very scared. And it was one of those where I finally started paying attention to my feelings as number 3 here. Again, I can't believe we're going way over, by the way. This is probably going to be a 45-minute or so. But being able to realize that, I have now since then, and also I ended up getting reinforcement for my kid because my kid also ended up telling me when she was in her mid-20s, we also sat down and had a heart-to-heart and said, yeah, that really, it scares me. I did not realize, and I thought instantly back to me being a child and watching my dad throw something around the house and breaking it and busting glass, or, I mean, he shoved my mom. Which again is a completely other episode, but seeing those effects, I was petrified as a 7-year-old, 8-year-old. I was absolutely petrified. But then my dad was really cool. When you want to talk about history or anything else, he was like right there. So it wasn't all the time. It was just when he got mad, and I never wanted to make that guy mad ever. And here, lo and behold, I ended up adapting that, is that that's how I handled anger. Because I guess that's what I was taught, how you handle anger. And it's not healthy. And I would really hope that Dee and my baby would actually testify that I have chilled out quite a bit. I have done a lot of self-thought. But when you start paying attention to your emotions, also think about why you feel that way. What's making you feel that way? Maybe that would help. I don't know. It helped me out. Again, I am not a doctor. So let's move on. Number 4. Okay, this one's got a little bit of a weird, I don't know. Practice sitting with your negative feelings to increase your tolerance. I'm not sure what that means. Their little, let me see if I can, if I still have it up. I do, yay! Okay, let me get to this one because I am not quite sure. Practice sitting with negative feelings to increase your tolerance. Learning how to sit with strong or... This is off of their website. I'm reading right now. Off of their website. Learning how to sit with strong or painful feelings is one of the main early building blocks to learning all of the emotion skills. Sitting with negative feelings will put you in control of yourself. Okay. Again, I'm not really sure how I do that, except maybe the way that I was just talking about. Like, I had a heart-to-heart with my beloved and my child, and I got told, hey, and, you know, you sit down, you have a long conversation with yourself. It's like, you know, I don't want to scare these people. They're the people I love. So I don't know. I'm not really sure. Go talk to your therapist. I'm sure that your therapist will have an appropriate answer to this question. So there you go. That's my best, I don't know, Siri or Alexa or whoever. Let's move on. Number 5, keep an ongoing list of your likes and dislikes. Now, this is beautiful. I really kind of like this one. It makes it busy throughout the day because they were saying that, you know, no like or dislike is too small. So don't think that it's like, I don't like that creamer. Okay, put it on the list that you don't like it. I kind of like this one. I feel that I want to do this one. And have that as like, okay, and take that into my therapist and be like, okay, here, you know what? Tell me about what about this. But I think this is actually a pretty good one just for you to get a glance at all the different emotions that you feel or the things that you like and the things that you don't like. Dee also called me out on one where she said, like, you just hate everything. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's my mom. My mom had fault with everything. But then she'd tell you, well, no, I don't, you know, whatever. But yeah, oh yeah. She was like, but I'm like, oh, I hate this. I hate that. I hate this. I hate the fridge. I hate our door. I hate, you know, things around the house. And I really think that this would be kind of interesting to see because Dee called me out on it. And I want to see how many times I say hate in a day. So I'm gonna definitely keep that. Good one. Number 5, keep an ongoing list of your likes and dislikes. There you go. Something to take into your therapist. Let's see. Number 6, develop and practice compassion for yourself. This is going to be a hard one. If I already don't feel that I am worth anything, this is going to be hard. I'm not going to lie. This is a one where I need professional help. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Jamie is not Dr. Jamie. God, I wish, because I could use the paycheck. But I am not Dr. Jamie. I think that I would need to do this. This is not a self-practice, I don't think, but I think that you can do daily affirmation of, look, you know, you're not a bad person. You know, you think about things of, you know, my heart is there. I have a good heart. I care for people. I want to make the world a better place. I don't want to add to it being all screwed up the way it is. And I appreciate myself for being that person. Or I feel good about that. And I'm kind of, that's what I've kind of clung on to. I hope I'm right. But I think this one, developing and practicing compassion for yourself, I think I need some help with that. So I'm going to bring that up to my therapist. Number 7, be aware of the feelings of anger when it happens in your body. Yes, yes, absolutely. This is huge. When I felt anger, it was a rush. I mean, I felt like I could lift a Mack truck. It was surging through my body without any kind of filter. There was no regulator on it at all. But when I punched something or when I threw something across the room, I got it out in a quick burst And then I was done. I was like, kind of, I could breathe again. And sometimes you end up getting more and more, you work yourself up into more and more anger, but, and it perpetuates a little bit, but eventually I just sort of peter out, you know, it's like, okay, whatever. You know, you slam some stuff around and that pisses off your spouse. D isn't very happy when I'm like cooking and mad or not feeling good. And I'm slamming pots and pans or cussing about this or cussing about that. But not just the emotion that you're feeling, but what do you feel in your body? Because I feel that, I don't know if it's adrenaline, if it's dopamine or whatever the hell it is. I have no clue, but there's just a rush of like a wave, if you will, of heat. And it happens really quickly. I've actually done this on my own. So, hey, look at me. I'm actually doing one of these 10 freaking strategies. So, go figure. But yeah, next time you get pissed, maybe think about it. Like, okay, how does this make my body feel? I know it's going to be hard because you're going to be pissed. But trust me, you can do it. If I can do it, I know you can do it. So, I mean, hey, give it a try. What the hell? If not, talk to your therapist. Number 8, read a book on assertiveness. Okay, this is something I definitely could do. I could read a book on assertiveness. I'll let you know how that turns out. I gotta find one and see. Number 9, share your childhood emotional neglect story with someone close to you. Well, D, as I said, is in my bullseye. And the only other people that I really share this with are you all. I haven't really talked to anybody else in my family, even though I do have a good handful of people that are in my little yellow zone. And, you know, if you're listening to this, you know who you are. But yeah, I'm sharing this with you because you as my listeners, honestly, you all mean a lot to me. You've kept me going for 5 seasons because the number's still there. You're still downloading. So you must like something I'm doing. I can't get you all to actually write me every once in a while. But I'm glad you're listening. I think it's sweet. I've talked to a handful of you, which is great. I mean, you know, chat or email, but yeah. I am very grateful for you. So I'm going to share this with you. As I said, all through this, this is a journey. So I'm going to share my journey with you. So this is my childhood emotional neglect story. There you go. So you are someone close to me. Number 10, look for the effects of childhood emotional neglect in your primary relationship, or maybe it's on your primary. Okay. Look for the effects of childhood emotional neglect on your primary relationship. Okay. Case in point, as I said, D called me out on my shit and she finally told me when I'm pissed. And I mean, I was angry. I still remember. I was like, what is wrong? Why are you crying? And, you know, I was mad, not at her, but I was mad. And I finally, I calmed down enough in order to have a conversation with her in order for her to call me out on my shit. And this is the effects that my childhood emotional neglect was having, part of it was having on my relationship. So yeah. I'm now going to be a little bit more aware of, or try to be more aware. I'm not going to be that successful maybe, but I'll give it a try. Because I don't have the tools, I guess. Maybe I need to be talking to my therapist in order to get more tools, to see how I could better do this. But I think that, luckily I have a spouse that has been okay talking with me, and I am grateful for my child because my child has talked to me and opened up to me. And I think, you know, my relationship with my child is gotten a little bit better because we've talked about that. But yeah, I mean, it's had a lot of negative effects. My first marriage went down the pisser. not just because I was trans and I didn't tell my wife about it and when we got married, or before we got married, and, you know, all the problems that went into going on that. That, I wholeheartedly, that's my fault. I should have been up forward, and I should, or should have been forward to her or up front with it and told her I'm trans. But I didn't. I hid it, and that was not right. But emotionally, and trying to communicate with my first wife was an impossibility. It was not something, because I think maybe she had her own emotional neglect or trauma or something that she went through, is that you don't talk about your feelings. You just keep that shit in and you carry on. And it had a major effect on that relationship. And it was about to have a major effect on my current relationship. Again, until my beloved spouse ended up finally sharing with me what was going on. And I think we're that much more closer for it, and have a closer relationship. I mean, hell, we're celebrating our 10th wedding anniversary this year in November. So it's a date, you know, months away. But yeah, we've been together as of this August coming up. We've been together for 15 years. And my last relationship that I had, at 15 years, I was packing up my shit and moving out and waiting for divorce papers. I have a spouse now that I can look at, and I am very blessed that I can look at and I can still say, I love you. And they actually say it back and mean it. I've never had that before. So, being able to work that shit out, I guess, my childhood emotional neglect, because of my spouse, you know, helping me along, giving me prompts. I mean, she's not the one doing the internal thinking work. So I've been, again, very blessed to have her in my life. And, but this could be anyone. So let's say your friendship. You know, how has your childhood emotional neglect been on a friendship? Let's say you're not, I'm not married. Let's say I don't have a fantastic spouse. Maybe I am single and I just go to therapy. So, okay, why am I single? I would think that for me personally, again, looking at these same things that I've gone through in my life, I can't answer. This isn't for you all. I'm just giving an example of mine. I know that I have trust issues. I also don't want to get close to anyone that's going to end up hating me for who I am. Perfect strangers yelling at me. I'm right. Okay, I don't know you from Adam. That doesn't bother me as much. But someone that I really like, I really admire, someone that I really care about, and I want to be their friend, I want to be in a relationship with them, either a deeper relationship or just a friend relationship. I don't want to end up having that person end up finding out about me and then hating my guts. I don't know. For some reason, that's just crushing to me. And why is that? Because of maybe my emotional neglect, but maybe, it stems off of those trust issues. Maybe I don't feel that I'm worthy enough to attract another individual that would like me for who I am. Again, going number, okay, what was it? Number one. Hard time accepting someone would like you, let alone love you for who you are. Well, there you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. That would be probably the absolute. That's like one of the first things. I just don't feel that I would be good enough for that friend. If they knew that I was trans, they knew that I like butterflies or whatever. Well, that's a girly. God. Okay. Well, and of course, I end up getting my heart broken. I've had my heart broken by my dad. My dad left me. I had a huge amount of heartbreak with that. When he left my mom, he left me. And you know, we were talking about this. Dee even said, she thinks that I'm still suffering from that. And I got to be honest with you. Maybe I am. I told her at the time that, you know, if you tell her, I swear to God, I won't deny it. But at the time I told her, no, I've settled up with that. Whatever. I'm cool. I know he left me, you know, I kind of cut my emotional switch off and, you know, kind of like he's dead to me type of thing. But no, I'm probably still dealing with a lot of that crap. But there you go. Okay. So those are the 10 strategies for coping with your childhood emotional neglect. I hope that this has been helpful, maybe. If you're not going to see a therapist currently, I suggest go see a therapist. That would be a huge help. I think that there's a lot of cannon fodder in here that I'm going to start when in my next session next week. I'm going to be bringing these cards and talking about it. So go look through the reels. See if there's something that hits you with that. I'm in to take it to your own therapist and say, hey, I've got questions. I am going to read that book on assertiveness. I'm going to see how that goes. I think that would really be good. And, you know, also on a personal note, I think Dee also has her own issues that she's been dealt with. Because she has a lot of these signs as well. You know, there's a lot of these traits. So I think it would be great for both of us. A nice journey for us to work on ourselves. And I think it will help us grow as a couple. That would be friggin' awesome. Even better. More icing on the cake, I guess. But my time is definitely up. We're now at 46 minutes, moving on 47. Thank you so much for listening and hanging with me. You guys are awesome. I am not blowing smoke up your skirt with that or your pant leg, either way. It really does mean a lot that when I log on and I see all the different places around the world that are downloading our episodes, it's really something else. It brightens my day knowing that whoever you are, that you're listening to this, I see the cities. I see the cities and states are all that I see. And I don't know who anybody is. I don't get names. I don't get addresses. I don't get any kind of, I just know that, you know, a certain percentage downloaded on Apple, a certain percentage downloaded on Spotify, and the cities that ended up downloading. And it just tickles me so much. And I literally, honestly, you help me out of depression. If I'm feeling down or something like that, I've logged on and I've looked at my stats, for this podcast and be just like, holy crap, man. Like there's 34 people that downloaded the last episode. And again, that's out of 4 continents that we've had 30 some downloads on 4 continents, which just freaks me out. I am so thankful for you guys listening. So I promise I'll stop drooling. Again, I'm emotional right now, so just bear with me and be happy that I'm not crying, because I ugly cry and it will even come over on the microphone. So with that being said, thank you. I hope you all are doing well. Stay safe, and I'll talk to you next week. All right, toodles.
If you enjoyed this episode, there are a few ways you can help us continue making great content. You can buy us a coffee at buymecoffee.com/Harry Rump. You can purchase some quality shirts and accessories at Harry Rump's House of Stuff, or become a patron at patreon.com/Harry Rump's House of Stuff. You can also do all those and contact us on our website at tieinhighheels.com. You can always find us on Instagram and Facebook at tieinhighheels. And don't forget to give us a review on iTunes. And email all of your comments and questions at Jamie, J-A-I-M-E-E, @tieinhighheels.com. And as always, happy listening!